Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we heard about Judge Jephthah and his tragic vow, which cost him his daughter. The sacrifice of the first thing that came through the door, which a vow we call a tragic vow because God didn't demand that he make any kind of vow or bargain with him at all to have the victory over the Ammonites. It was his vow, not the Lord's vow, a tragic vow indeed. Tonight, and Good Friday, our final judge from the book of Judges, Samson, the last of God's six deliverers. What shall we say about him? Well, unlike all the other judges we've studied so far in the good book, an angel of the Lord comes to his mother and announces his birth. The angel says, "Behold, you will conceive and bear a son." Interestingly, we've heard those words before, haven't we? To a barren mother, just like Samson's mother, barren, she had no son or daughter before him. And also the same way with Abraham and Sarah, and later Zechariah and Elizabeth. And also in the Old Testament, Hannah for her son Samuel. Unique to Samson, though, when compared to Abraham and Sarah, Samson was to be holy to the Lord from birth. No razor shall touch his head, no wine or strong drink, in fact, nothing from the grapevine at all. Eat nothing unclean, and touch nothing that is dead. For such was the vow of a Nazarite, one who is holy to the Lord from the womb to the tomb. Furthermore, this child was anointed to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines when God said and sent Israel into the Philistines' hands, and they suffered under their hand for 40 years. Ouch. Of all the judges we've studied so far, all the oppression so far, we had 3 years once, we had 7 years once, 20 years once, but we've never had 40 years. Ouch. That's the longest. Unlike all the other oppressions we've already heard about in the book of Judges, the text does not say that the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help. They didn't cry out to the Lord for help. All the other times they did, but not this time. One wonders if the oppression would have been a lot shorter if only someone would have cried out to the Lord for help. Maybe Israel said in their hearts, "We've already done that. We've already cried out to the Lord so many times that we're just sure that the Lord no longer wants to hear it. How many times is just too many times? Isn't he tired of us being unfaithful, nor thankful for his help again and again with all the previous judges we've had up until now? Let's not bother the Lord, for we know what our sins deserve." You know, however, God never says we should do that. Never. Never give up on God. Even if you think that there's no more love or mercy from God in his heart, you're wrong. God is full of compassion, full of mercy. He wants to show mercy. He wants to show love. Never should we doubt that God doesn't want to hear our pleas for mercy. Never should we doubt that he won't turn his ear in mercy towards his son, his child, Israel, us, the church. God is full of it, mercy. His promises will never be broken. He loves his son too much to not have pity on Israel. Yes, God disciplines. God sends his unfaithful people into the hand of the oppressors to punish them. And we suffer sometimes too for our unfaithfulness, and we suffer justly for our failures to trust God above all things. Our false idol worship that we do in our own ways, whatever our idols may be. But God never forgets his promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And the covenant of Sinai with Moses and the promise of a Savior he made to Adam and Eve in the garden in the beginning, right after that first sin. After 40 years, however, of letting Israel follow their own dreams and desires, God said, enough is enough. And God sent an angel to announce the birth of Savior Samson, a judge. That's our Samson, the Nazarite to God from the womb. All in all, we'd have to say Samson wasn't very good at being a Nazarite. That is, he didn't keep the vow perfectly as required. Maybe he trusted too much in his own strength. Maybe he was prideful. I don't know. But we do know he wasn't very good at keeping the Nazarite vow. So strong was Samson that he killed a lion. I don't know many people who could kill lions with their bare hands, but Samson did. But when he killed the lion, guess what? He touched a dead thing, didn't he? Oops. Passing by the lion a second time, he noticed there was some honeybees and some honey in the carcass, and he went over and scraped the carcass, and put the honey in his hands, and ate the honey, and took some back to his parents. Oops. He touched a dead thing. But he didn't tell them where it came from because he didn't want them to know that he had broken the vow. Samson chose a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines. He chose a wife from the enemy of God's people, which was not right for him to do. Yet the Bible says even this choice of Samson of an unfaithful wife was from the Lord, because God was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. God will use unlawful people who break vows and unlawful circumstances to accomplish his word. Even law-breaking Nazarites will be used in God's plan in the end for Israel's good. Samson, some Bible commentators note, is kind of like the whole nation of Israel reduced to one man. They think that whatever happened to all the people in the book of Judges kind of happens in a small chasm for Samson. You look at what happened to Samson, his whole life is kind of like what happens to the Israelites all throughout the book of Judges. That is, first, he is the Lord's from birth. Then, he does what is evil in the sight of the Lord. Then the Lord punishes him and makes him a prisoner of the enemy of God's people, the Philistines. Then Samson cries out to the Lord, something Israel didn't do before God sent Samson. He cries out to the Lord for help and strength and victory one last time. And the Lord grants it, despite Samson's wrongdoing again and again. Next week, we will hear the details of Samson's death and relate it to Jesus' death as substitute for Israel and for us. Samson helps us understand Good Friday in the ways that Jesus on the cross relates now even to us, to you and to me. But tonight, let's remember that God remained faithful to his plan and his announcement that Judge Samson would save Israel despite all the wrong things that Samson did. In other words, when we are faithless, God remains faithful. What a God we have. Faithful beyond all measure. Faithful when we are faithless. Always willing to hear our pleas for mercy, never turns his ear away, always willing to save us from our enemies, yes, yes, even sin and eternal death. God has proved it again and again. I think God alone is the only true Nazirite in the whole Bible. He alone is strong to save and dedicated to his own purpose and mission. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.